Okay, well, today we're really excited on InTune Radio Shropshire that we are talking to Colonel Mark Cuthbert Brown, who is the Vice Lord Lieutenant of Shropshire. And so welcome, Mark. Lovely to have you with us.
Thank you. Lovely to be with you.
Hiya, Mark.
And can you tell us, what does the Vice Lord Lieutenant of Shropshire do?
Well, it's all a bit vague, really. I'm appointed by the Lord Lieutenant to stand in when he or she, and it is now a she, it was a he when I took over, to stand in if he or she cannot attend a particular event. And it might be because they're overcommitted, or it might be they're lucky enough to be on holiday or perhaps indisposed. And I'm lucky enough that it's very rare that I have to stand in directly. But I do my utmost to assist the Lord Lieutenant in whatever she does. And Anna is a wonderful example of someone utterly committed to doing things in the county, for the county, and representing the county, upholding the dignity of the Crown, representing the county in dealings with the palaces, and occasionally standing in for royalty at visits which could have warranted a royal visit, but just can't quite be managed on the occasion. And so one has to have a representative of the Crown within the county, and that's what the Lord Lieutenant does. And I do my best to assist her and to stand in on some occasions.
Wonderful. That must be such an interesting job to do, though. So can you tell us how did you become the Vice Lord Lieutenant of Shropshire?
Well, that's quite a long story.
Okay.
I retired from the army after 35 years in 2012, at a time when we still had the wonderful old barracks at Copthorne. And I was invited there to a retired officer's function, and I bumped into an old friend of mine, a gentleman called Edmund Thules, who was at the time, not that I realised it, the Vice Lord Lieutenant. And when he asked what I intended to do in retirement from the army, I said, well, I'm lucky enough to have a pension on which I think I can survive, and I'm looking for some voluntary work. And he reached into his briefcase and said, ah, well, I've got just the thing for you in that case. And he said, you can't tell anyone about this just yet because it's not public, but we've had it confirmed that Her Majesty is going to visit RAF Cosford in the summer of 2012 to celebrate the Jubilee. And they needed someone to help run the administration and the logistics. Was I willing to do it? And I said yes. And before I knew it, it was a day a week, and then it was 2 days a week, and then it was 3 days a week. And before I knew it, I was looking for an eighth day in the week. and in July 2012, we had a wonderful visit by both by Her Majesty and by the Duke of Edinburgh. We had 35,000 children come down the runway and conduct something that was akin to an eyes left. Although, as he departed, the Duke of Edinburgh said to Edmund, that wasn't quite the trooping of the colour, was it? But it was with a real glint in his eye, and he had quite clearly enjoyed the day. It was informal, it was wonderful, and it met the remit that had been set by the then Lord Lieutenant, Sir L.G. Heber-Percy, although it was before his knighthood. And it met his entire remit that as many young people and children should attend as could be managed, and that they would live the rest of their lives remembering that occasion in which they saw the Queen. And I think we achieved it. As I say, 35,000 children from all around the county. Every school bus that we could get was committed to the event in getting them there and getting them home again. And we had a good many adults as well. And it was a wonderful sort of fairground atmosphere hosted by the Royal Air Force at Cosford, but very much a Shropshire event. And it's that was how I got into the lieutenancy, or rather how I was noticed by the lieutenancy. And a couple of years later, Sir LG wanted to add to his cohort of deputies, and he added me to the list. And 3 years after that, Edmund was set to retire, and suddenly I found myself being invited to take over as the Vice Lord Lieutenant. And that's a job I've now been doing for, I suppose, about 4 years, I think.
That's fantastic. So what I would like to ask you is, as you were saying, that was obviously a big royal visit to Shropshire by the Queen and Prince Philip. Do we have more royal visits to Shropshire than we know about, or are they always publicised if a member of the royal family comes to Shropshire? Or do they ever sort of sneak up here in secret and nobody ever hears?
No, that's quite a difficult one.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's most often it's public, mm-hmm. but there are occasions in the past when there's been a degree of privacy, and one should remember that both of two royal princes have been trained to fly helicopters at RAF Shorebury, and they've lived within the county, and they've known the county very well from the air. Mm-hmm. And their movements and lifestyle were quite clearly secluded simply for security. Mm-hmm. And there is, in my observation at least, I shouldn't speak for the royal family, but it does seem to me that they have an affection for the county and the people of the mm-hmm. county. And they do respond very warmly when they're invited to come, generally speaking, but they are busy people and they can't come on every occasion, but they often do come and they go away with a smile on their faces, which is a good thing.
Absolutely.
Have I answered the question?
Yes.
So, the Queen's Award for voluntary
yes,
service.
Wayne.
That's recently been something that you've been looking at. Can you tell us a little bit more about how the awards came about and
yes,
why they're so precious to Shropshire and the Shropshire people?
Well, the awards were conceived in 2002 when the Queen was preparing to celebrate her Golden Jubilee. And she was very conscious that a lot of individuals were recommended, and sometimes the lucky ones were then honoured with a personal award, an MBE or a BEM or an OBE or whatever. But that there was a great deal being done by groups of volunteers, and it wasn't possible for every single one of them to be recognised in quite the same personal way. And she conceived the idea that volunteer groups could be made eligible for an award, and what ultimately transpired is a crystal trophy with the QAVS, the Queen's Award for Voluntary Service badge on it, together with a certificate signed by Her Majesty, allocated every year on the anniversary of that jubilee, which is in itself the anniversary of the Queen's coronation in 1953, 2nd of June, mm-hmm. and that's the date that the list every year is publicised. And we have been, as a county, competing pretty well over the years. And I know that I can speak for one or two amongst the lieutenancy in knowing that we've been consulted by other counties because we seem to have a fairly good hit rate on a per capita basis. Shropshire does better than most other counties. Yeah. And that, I think, is a great credit to the people of Shropshire, that we have got a willing cohort of people, perhaps in some cases of a certain age, but they're very well dispersed in a very diverse county that includes Telford, of course, with relatively urban environment, but some tiny villages. And it's quite interesting to go down the list of Shropshire towns and conurbations, mm-hmm. and something like I think I'm right in saying that the 20th largest conurbation in the county is the village of Clun. I may be a little bit adrift with that, but it puts into perspective that we've got some very small populations,
yeah.
which figure importantly on our map, but against the nature of some of the big conurbations, and perhaps I misused the word conurbation before, you compare it with Manchester or Birmingham or Sheffield, the density is very low, and we've got a lot of dispersal with a great deal of need for community support. Mm-hmm. And in some places, in most places, we've got members of the community who step forward and do things for others, which is a wonderful thing, and it's a great privilege to be able to meet some of those folk through the QAVS scheme.
Amazing. And actually, when we caught up a little while ago, that actually helped cement my thoughts for having a community-based radio station, because, of course, you know, smaller populations, you know, that are dotted around Shropshire, they're harder to reach places. And one of the easiest ways of reaching people is through something like a radio station. And it also yes. brought to light that there's 25 settlements, if you like, that I that I then went on to look up and realise that actually, yeah, we hear a lot with what's happening in Shrewsbury and Telford and Ironbridge and so on. But actually, some of the smaller settlements, as they're called, you know, they don't have as much reach, you know, and some significant work is being done by people on the ground there. And we'd like to, you know, say to people that are in those settlements, contact us, because we want to hear the great work that you're doing. And actually, we need to bring it to light and let the larger settlements understand that great work is being done there, which I'm sure they do. But let's hear about it. Let's hear some of those stories. And if you could put us in contact with any community leaders in those settlements who could spare 10 minutes to impart what's happening and put us in contact with maybe some charity work that somebody local is doing to them, or you know, we would be delighted to hear more about things like that.
That's fantastic. You're spot on there, Wayne, spot on. And I'll be delighted to help you establish some of those links. But one of the first I might mention is Shropshire's Rural Communities Charity. Yeah. And that's Hedy. I don't know whether you know Julia Barron, but she's worth talking to, and she would help you find all sorts of good causes around the county. She's a great coordinating agent for you name it, any sort of volunteer organisation.
Yes. Well, I will do. Thank you very much. That was awesome. So the awards, the Queen's Awards. Winners
this year, you want yeah. This year's winners, well, we had four this year, which is a really good score. We average in a county three per annum over the last 18 years, so four is better than some years, not quite as good as our best year, but nonetheless, the very fact that we've had 55 winners over an 18-year period is pretty good score by anybody's reckoning. Certainly when you look at the Ulster Lieutenancies other than Shropshire's, many of them are quite envious. So the 2021 winners this year, the Albrighton Trust, known as the Red House, community charity, obviously set in Albrighton. Mm-hmm. We've got the Bright Star Boxing Academy, an organisation that develops and builds confidence in youth, using boxing as a vehicle, but it's not a heavy hitting organisation. It's one that just builds people gently, with a little bit of a punch, I think, at some stage. And then we have Shrewsbury Drapers Company, a long established charitable organisation quite obviously Shrewsbury, assisting people, especially the elderly and the isolated, in need of housing. And then we have Shrewsbury's Food Hub, which I forget the figures off the top of my head, but collecting huge volumes of food at nearing its end of life on the shelves of supermarkets and elsewhere, and ensuring that it makes its way to those who need it through volunteers physically humping and dumping and storing food in order to distribute it and make sure it gets to people who need it. So those are the four this year, of which I'm immensely proud, every one of them.
Yeah,
very well done, all of them.
And how do people, how do they go through the process? Do they contact you? Is it a form online? What?
The most direct method would be to look it up online, qavs.gov.uk, I think it is, but put in a search for Queen's Award for Voluntary Service and it'll come up online very quickly. And pretty much anybody can submit a nomination for a volunteer cause. And I say anybody, there are some caveats. If you are a member of a volunteer organisation, you cannot nominate your own organisation, but you might well have a colleague organisation that you want to nominate, and because of your own position as a volunteer for one, you might have visibility of another. Yeah. It should not be an animal welfare charity. It should be volunteer-led and principally doing work reliant on volunteers. It's not to say there can't be some professionals amongst them, but the leadership should be volunteer. Mm-hmm. The group must be, I think I'm right in saying it's three people or more. It might be four people or more. So exceptionally, they'll look at a very small group.
Yes.
But more often, it's a larger group than that, But we have had one or two really quite small operations that have been successful. One coming to mind is the Shropshire War Memorials Association, which is about four or five people typically all together, with sometimes an extra hand or two volunteering, but serving to update and maintain war memorials and giving advice, and in some cases researching the names that should have been on a memorial that's not listed, and in some cases commissioning a new memorial to a Victoria Cross winner, for example. And it's a remarkable little organization. They won their award in, I think I'm right in saying, 2019, and that was really small. We had another one known as Goal, Getting Older Adults Online, based in WEM. Yes. Relatively small number of people, but helping people who don't use a computer onto the computer, onto the network, in order that they can achieve communication, which of course is very much expected by the modern world. And if you've got an iPad or you've got a mobile phone and you can use the internet, you can communicate more readily, probably more cheaply, with people all around the world, and you can get access to government and official and non-official services that you might not otherwise reach if you live in the countryside, and you simply can't get there. So those are just some examples. I think I've jumped beyond the question you asked me, and I can't remember the detail of it now. You're going to have to remind me. Have I answered it?
Right. Yeah, I think you have. Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, it's just interesting to see the diverse nature of awards as well, and obviously the hard work that people have put into, and then get nominated, as you've yes. pointed out, yes. by people that have been probably so impressed by the work that they're doing for the Queen's Award. Yep. So
forgive me, Wayne, I've just remembered there was a part of your question which I have jumped over. I've mentioned the fact that you can nominate through the government website, but it does help to consult someone who has worked in the system previously. And so having looked at the paperwork online, looked at the process online, it could do no harm to, if you're online anyway, look up the Shropshire Lieutenancy. We've got email addresses in the Shire Hall, and get in touch with us, because we have seen a lot of these cases in the past, and we understand the metrics by which they are going to be judged in the scrutiny process in London. And we can guide a little bit. It's not to say we do anything dishonest at all, that's far from it, but we want to make sure that a truthful and subjective submission that goes in with metrics rather than broad adjectives.
Yes.
It's very easy for a witness to say, this organisation is unique. Well, I can tell you that if you read that on a form in London, they will start saying, was it really unique? I can think of someone else that's doing that in Bradford or Birmingham or Billericay or wherever else. And they will start checking, because you used that word unique. And for me, if it's unique, it's a one of a kind. And you've opened a challenge by using the word. So don't use it. Don't use it. Yes. What you've got to find a way is demonstrating some metrics with comparison in such a way that the case is persuasive. And we can help people do just that.
Well, that's really important, because, of course, you know, people would kind of think, well, we believe that we've got a strong case to receive a Queen's Award, and to actually contact yourself, that can go through that process. I mean, it's going to help tremendously, isn't it? And that could be why you've got such a great hit rate, is because you've been so articulate and diligent to help people put the best case forward.
Yeah, we do try to do just that, and we can't help everyone. And the threshold in London, where the scrutiny panel works, ultimately then giving a recommendation to Her Majesty for the awards every year, they do scrutinise every single case, and they do it in very great detail. And some of those that we put forward don't succeed, and that's quite simply because we think they're good. We've presented the evidence. But in London, they've seen others and they think, well, that one just scrapes through just ahead. And there's a degree of competition in it. And if you have a winner, there's always going to be someone in second place or third place, and not everyone can have the award.
Yes.
And the same goes for, we hear on the radio every year about the honours, the honours system that, with MBEs, etc. In the same way, do people nominate individual people in exactly the same way? Do they contact you?
It's not exactly the same way, but it is similar. There are so it's not an area of the lieutenancy that I concentrate on. I tend to hold my effort for the QAVS, mm-hmm. but my I do occasionally find myself drawn into individual awards. There is a similar process for a national award, which is administered online, or it can be done on paper. But once again, if evidence is presented in such a way that it is persuasive and it provides evidence of the real excellence of the individual's ability, a little bit of help from the lieutenancy might just be able to help. So it's very often better to find one of the deputy lieutenants, inquire of the Shire Hall through the website I mentioned already, and if we can, we'll help. But we'll be objective, and we might actually say, well, yes, this is a wonderful person doing some good work, but I'm not really sure he or she stacks up against the standard that's required. So we will be objective, but we'll help where we can, and we do push forward a good few nominations.
That's wonderful. So interesting to hear. You know, because, I mean, as myself, I had no idea how one would go about nominating anybody or any organisation. And so now to know is fantastic. Yeah. And wonderful for our listeners to hear this is the way to do it.
Mm-hmm. And the Queen's Award itself, it's unique, isn't it? Because people actually have the award for life, don't they? Is that correct?
Yeah, well, it is a Queen's Award. It's one of those difficult things that we give Her Majesty gives, and we pass on the awards, the trophy, and the certificate to a group of individuals who have been doing wonderful work up to the point at which they've been doing it. And very many of them, the vast majority, carry on indefinitely. But some organisations are very heavily dependent on individual personalities, and they could then fall away at some stage. There is no mechanism I have yet uncovered by which these trophies are recovered. So they become a legacy, and they could sit on an individual mantelpiece for all time if they survive. And it's a glass trophy and it's heavy. And I do always make sure when there's a presentation taking place, be careful, do receive it. Make sure the person who's receiving it has got the strength to hold this block of glass that weighs a few pounds. It's a wonderful thing, but let's get it on that ledge quite quickly. I'm sure there have been a few accidents along the way. You're right. It's a lifetime award. Once it's been presented, it's been presented. And it's something of which people have to be proud. But at the same time, it's one of the reasons why we scrutinise the submissions very carefully.
Yes. Fascinating.